I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Good morning. This is Bob Sherwood with webtalkwithbob@gmail.com coming to you from the heartland of America on June the 20th. And I do have some earth-shattering observations to share with you today. One of which is Rush Limbaugh and I agree on something else. He made a comment today on his radio show that Steve Bezos, the owner of Amazon and, of course, the owner of Washington Post, and now the owner of Whole Foods, is a Trump hater. Big surprise. What do you think he's doing with Washington Post? Now, I have talked to a few people about the email program that the Washington Post sends to Amazon buyers, and everyone is not receiving the email. I don't know why. I never subscribe to the Washington Post at all, and I get emails, and clearly they're sent under an Amazon logo because Amazon is at the top, and it shows Amazon ads. But everybody is not getting them. I can't explain it, except maybe for one reason. I notice when I get my Amazon, my Washington Post email, it doesn't come into my primary inbox. It goes over to my spam folder. It knows where it should be. So I go over there and get it and then open it. And that's when I read all these wonderful things that the Washington Post says about Trump. The Post, by the way, has contributed to what I call the death of journalism. We've talked about it before, but anyone who thinks journalism is not dying or already dead simply doesn't see the handwriting on the wall. The Washington Post, for example, is really a series of opinion articles. I read an article just the day before yesterday in the Post, which was maybe 700 words long, and all they did was accuse Trump of everything. If someone is killed in London, it is Trump's fault. If a congressman is shot by a crazy person in Washington, D.C., it's because of Trump's rhetoric, not because of the Democrats' rhetoric, not because of the Democrats' emotionally charged reporting and reporting by the MSNBC assassins. That's right, the assassins on MSNBC. Don't ever think anything different, but they are getting paid to say negative things about Trump, to raise the emotional rhetoric to the point where Democrats might take violent action. So the death of journalism is the one observation I have today. And if you're thinking about it, you might jump 10 years into the future and speculate on what newspapers and editing will look like. I have a retired Associated Press person who has me on their email list. And every day I get an email from him about the death of the Associated Press people, that's the AP people, that collected news for years. His entire email is dedicated to people that are retired from the AP. And there aren't any new people going into the AP. It's essentially over as we know it. A couple of things on other observations. We all know what goes on at the University of Chicago. This is a hotbed of liberal thinking. And they have a poll group there, and I believe I have the name right. It's called Nordic. Could be N-O-R-D-C, but it's a national opinion poll group that runs out of Chicago. And they just ran a poll of whoever they poll and ask people their opinion on whether or not they agreed with the judge's opinion to override Trump's veto on the Trump's executive order on the travel ban. Now, here's what the report concluded, and I may not have it exactly right, but I think I'm within the concept. 85% of all Democrats thought the judge's opinion to squash the executive order on the travel ban was correct and proper and appropriate. And 70% of the Republicans thought just the opposite. Now, if I were a pollster, I would want to look beyond the partisan voting percentages. Or otherwise, why take the poll? Because we know the results. The Democrats will be against what Trump does, and the Republicans will be in favor of it. There's no need to take a poll if all the voting is along partisan lines. And I would think a pollster would want to know what's really behind it. It can't be that just because you're a Democrat, you're against Trump's executive order, or just because you're a Republican, you're in favor of it. There has to be a more rational explanation. And I'm disappointed that these people who take these polls don't dig deeper. Because what a horrible thing to conclude that the total result, the answers that people give, are just partisan. There isn't any rational or critical thinking going into a person's response to the poll. It's disturbing to me to think that partisan politics are the main reason we are for or against something. But maybe there's another reason. After all, with all due respect, I only know what I read, what I see, and what I hear. And if I listen to MSNBC all day long, I will guarantee you I will be against anything Trump stands for. Because that's all I hear. That's all I see on MSNBC. If I listen to Lawrence O'Donnell or Rachel Maddow or any of that group over there, and Chris Wallace almost now, if I listen to those people, I'm going to think that what Trump is doing is crazy, stupid, salacious, mistaken, etc., 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 because that's what they preach. And having no other information to the contrary, I believe, or a person would believe, what they are preached to about. So if you listen to MSNBC, then you're against Trump, because that's all you hear. And you are no smarter than what you hear, what you see, and what you read. Now, some of us listen to multiple channels, like I do, and I find it unbelievable to hear the different points of view on the same subject. So maybe everything is partisan. Maybe there is no objectivity in any kind of reporting. But I hope that's not the case. I hope that when we respond to questions in a poll, such as the University of Chicago's Nordic poll, that they apparently have some relationship with the AP in that poll. I hope that if we get questions from that poll, that we respond based on critical thinking, not based on partisan politics. But it may not be the case. And because of that, and because of many other reasons that I've talked about on this podcast and podcasts in the past, journalism is dead. It just doesn't exist anymore. It's all about eyeballs now. It's all about advertising. And I'm not saying it always wasn't like that, but I do remember a time when journalism was a vital part of how we received our news, and we counted on journalists to be objective. But there is no question that doesn't exist anymore. Maybe there's a few people that try to be, but in general, it's the positives against the negatives. It's the Democrats against the Republicans. It's the red against the blue. It's a competition for who can say the worst thing about the other. And that's sad, very, very sad. Now, another point, and my last point in today's podcast, is I will call it the death of patriotism. About once a month, I have lunch with a friend of mine who's a West Point graduate, played football for West Point. His name is Ted Davis. I don't think he'd object to me saying his name over the air. And he has a son, by the way, who also is a West Point graduate. And we talked today at lunch about the death of patriotism. And we talked a bit about World War II. And we talked about how incredible it must have been to have Americans, a million or more of them, go off to fight another country. And how hard that must have been for the parents and the wives and the spouses and the relatives, knowing that hundreds of thousands of these men would not come back. In other words, think about it. Americans were going to fight in another country to save France or to save England, but truly America was in jeopardy. No matter how we might think about it, it was going to be forever if Germany would get around to coming into the United States. And certainly Japan wasn't a real competitor for the winner of the war. By the time we arrived in Europe, Japan was pretty much out of the picture. The point is that the patriotism that it took for young men to give their lives, I don't know where that is. I was at a party on Saturday with about 25 young men, and I don't know that I heard one good comment about America. The general trend today among young people, I mean people between 20 and 40, is that America is a sad place to live. It's a bad place to live. We have terrible this, terrible that, bad politics, crooked politicians, et cetera, and the negative comments go on. And these comments can only come from people that haven't traveled around the world and lived in different places where the dreams and the freedom that we have in America are not to be found. Patriotism is dead or dying because memories can be short. But can you only imagine for a second what it must have been like for the parents who saw their young sons and daughters go off to fight a war in another country? For in some cases, I'm sure they said, why? What are we doing? Trying to save France? We're trying to save England? We're trying to save Switzerland, Austria, Italy? Spain. What have they done for us? Why are we doing that? But they did it. And they did it in droves. And people and young people stood in line to enlist because they were patriots. And of course we have Vietnam. And of course we have the Korean War. And of course we have Afghan and other wars since then. So the patriots haven't gone away completely. The patriots have not gone away completely. But I don't hear in the parties that I go to the concept of, gosh, isn't it great to be in America? Isn't it great to live in a land of free? isn't it great that our roads are good, our cars are good, we have good technology, we have good schools? Okay, I'm not saying we don't have any problems. Get off a plane in France or get off a plane in Belgium and try to start a business there and see how you like it. Or get off a plane in Russia, try to start a business there, try to raise venture capital there. No, it's not the same. So will patriotism be reborn? I don't know. Maybe that's why I always allude back to John F. Kennedy, because he appealed to the patriotism of Americans when he said, ask not what you can do for yourself, but ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think that's the correct way of saying it. I don't think about it much anymore myself, so don't know if anybody else does. Now remember, I'm not partisan. The fact is, whatever the Democrats do or whatever the Republicans do probably has no impact on me in the short run, maybe not in the long run. Of course, taxes might have an impact. But fundamentally, I get up every day and what I do, if I go to Starbucks for a coffee, if I go Panera for a sandwich, I'm taken care of. And if the Democrats hate Trump all day long, I still can get my sandwich at Panera and it still costs $9.95. That may be a short-range view, but all I'm saying is that for most of us, the politics of the day doesn't affect what happens to us that day or even to us probably this year. So no one can really challenge my objectivity because I have no axe to grind. And by the way, I've asked people to come on the show with totally contrary viewpoints. And so far, none have accepted the challenge. Because, you know, I'm going to ask them questions too. Not only can they ask me questions about my positions, but I get to ask them questions. I feel like most Democrats don't want to be asked questions. They want to respond and talk about it emotionally. They don't really want to talk about the facts or critical thinking. And that's why when we do polls, we have these unbelievable number of Democrats, 85%, being against whatever Trump is doing. Polls are so partisan that I would be embarrassed if I was a pollster reporting on the numbers. And that's all for today, June the 20th, from the heartland of America. Remember what I talked about today was the death of patriotism, the death of journalism. And I'm not a politician. I have no axe to grind. And when you read those polls, ask yourself, why don't the pollsters dig a little deeper? Why does the whole world have to exist in the headline? If that's the case, we don't need the body of the article anymore. We'll just read the headline and walk away with the soundbite or the eye bite, as the case may be. This is Bob Sherwood signing off on June 20th, 2017. If you have an email, if you have a comment, you have a complaint, or you want to be interviewed on the show, send me an email at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. And keep sending my podcast around. Had a record number of listeners last week. I had 48 listeners yesterday. That's a good number for me. Maybe if I get up around 1,000 or so, it would be even more fun and fascinating. But if I touch 50 people a day, that's plenty. Good luck. Have a great week. Listen in tomorrow while you're walking or working or thinking. Maybe you'll hear a provocative thought or two. And if you disagree, don't do nothing about it. Do something about it. Send me an email, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, and say, I disagree, Bob Sherwood. here's what I think is correct. I would love it if you would send it to me. And that's all. Signing off. Have a great, great day. I brought to you courtesy.